In the name of Jesus, amen. 242 years ago, it was in this country that there was a revolution. Revolution for independence from the rule of the King of England, who had sought to place burdens and taxes upon the people of this country. Because of the sacrifices of those who went before us, we now have the freedom to gather as Christian congregations in this country, to share freely the faith that is of the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, which has been handed down to us for the salvation of all humanity. And we have been given in this country the material blessings in order to support the spread of the gospel, not only in this country, but in many others. For we can send out messengers all over the world in order that they might proclaim the gospel around the globe. These are just some of the many blessings that we have in this country that we give thanks to God for. And yet, the very notion of independence has certainly caused us problems as well. Though we celebrate today our nation's independence from monarchs and those who would determine the form and the content of our worship, a vacuum of independence will be filled by dependence of one sort or of another. In other words, as one artist put it, you gotta serve somebody. If it's not a king, then maybe it's a president. If it's not a president, then it might be a capitalistic or socialistic greed system. But whatever it is, it usually ends up with people serving the Almighty I have rights. But I don't really consider that those rights come with responsibilities. I have choices, but I don't often think that my choices also have consequences. I want things my way, and people can't tell me otherwise. And when political and individual independence begins to merge with religious independence, that blurs the lines between the two, and very bad things happen. And so we see another revolution going on in our time. It's also for independence, is it not? Except this is not a political revolution like it was back in 1776. This is a cultural, moral, and religious revolution. And that makes this revolution in many ways much more dangerous than any other. For this revolution is challenging the very foundations of the society in which we live, stating at the very basic point that there is no more truth. There is no more objective truth. No one is right, no one is wrong, it just is what it is. Or in other words, you're independent. No one and no God can tell you who to be or what to do or anything. You're independent, you're free. And freedom, isn't it a good thing, right? It's a great thing. Except, that is, when freedom, in this sense of this revolution that promises you this freedom, is really no freedom at all, but rather a pathway straight to slavery and destruction. And many people are seeking this sort of freedom, this sort of pride. And they're actually falling into the slavery of sin deeper and deeper and deeper. I mean, it's not new, but we see it in greater ways now. Addiction, dysfunction, confusion, denial, anger, isolation, loneliness, depression. Those are just a few of the symptoms of what we see in and around people these days. And even with these things inside and outside of people, people still think in their own mind that they're going the right way. They still think that they're headed in the right direction. They still think that they are making progress. But it's not working, and they're not. The revolution promises freedom, but in the end, it gives slavery. But this is not a new thing completely. This kind of revolution, when you think about it, has been going on ever since the beginning of our first parents, long before our forefathers of this country. Men and women declaring their independence, men and women throwing off the restraints, rebelling against authority, pursuing freedom, going their own way, following their own desires. From Adam and Eve down to you and I to this very day and moment, the story is exactly the same. The names and faces have just changed. And yet, as a result, if you read history and you all live in the present day and you all see what is happening, there's never really been really a sense of freedom or independence. But it's really slavery and a bondage to destruction and just greater chaos and sin. It's like quicksand. You fight harder and harder to get out of it, but you fall deeper and deeper into it. So unlike the revolution of 1777, which we are celebrating today with this Independence Day on July 4th, this, however, mind you, a revolution of this freedom that leads to slavery, we can't win because it enslaves us. And Jesus says in the Holy Gospel reading the following words, you heard it. The one who hears you hears me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and the one who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So in other words, if we reject the sent out servants of God who preach the gospel, we reject Jesus. And in rejecting Jesus, we reject the Father who sent Jesus and therefore who sent these messengers to us. And if we insist on having this revolution and following our own truth and our own word and our own desires, Jesus says, you know what? It's going to be more bearable in that day of final judgment for Sodom. And we all know what occurred in Sodom, than for these cities, than for you who reject the gospel. Even if we consider ourselves living in a free and native land. But if we hear these servants and we repent of our sins and understand that they have been sent for our good, and cling to the word in faith and truth, and depend upon it, then we are truly free. We are forgiven. We are heirs of eternal life. For as Jesus says elsewhere, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And there is no doubt that in the freedom of the gospel, we all serve God's kingdom in various ways, in our various vocations, and how we serve our neighbor, and how we proclaim the works of God among us. And it is certain that we should rejoice in what the Lord does in us and through us. But there is also a very fine line, and you and I cross it all the time. In rejoicing in what the Lord does in and through us, and rejoicing in our accomplishments. Whenever we look to our own good works, which we want to, When we look to all that we do for the church and all the activities that we're involved in and all the humanitarian work that we do even outside of the church and the people that we've helped and all of these things, we lose focus on what the Lord has done for us. And what our Lord has done for us is the most important thing. Not that we have done for Him, but that He has done for us is what really matters. That is, fulfilling the law of God, which we cannot, as you know, dying on the cross for our sins, which we could not, as you know, and being raised for our justification, as you know, we could not, and He has done it for us. And not only all of this, He sustains our life here in this country with these freedoms and with these fortunes by His word and by His sacrament and by His restraining of evil. Salvation is not by the works of man, but it is by the work of God in and for man. So Jesus sends out the 72 with joy saying, the 72 go out and they come back and they say to the Lord, they say to Jesus, Lord, even the demons are subject to you. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. Subject to us. They were impressed with their works. They were impressed with their independence. And Jesus had to refocus their thoughts from independent thinking to dependent thinking. For Jesus says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that is, that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice what? That your names are written in heaven. That's what we are here to rejoice about. National pride is fine. American patriotism is wonderful. Fireworks are great as long as you don't lose an arm or a leg or an eye. It's important that we remember this day all the men and all the women who sacrificed their lives and their working and their doing to sustain this country, and also the men and women who do it currently to sustain this country in its freedoms and its fortunes. No question about that. But here in the church, things are a little different. Because here in the church, spiritual pride can and will wreak havoc on your Christian soul. Because we all have it, this spiritual pride. You have it, I have it, we collectively have it. We're proud of ourselves, and this, frankly, is idolatry. We put ourselves in the place of God, and we take pride in the fact that this has been done, and we don't really realize that it's God is the one who is doing it. And then we think that we can live independent lives from our Heavenly Father, that we don't really need Him. And when we see that the Lord is graciously doing in and through us all these wonderful things, we gladly take credit for it because it feels good and we want people to know that we matter. But this, dear friends, this can kill faith. It can rob us of our salvation. Because as you know, we are not saved by our works. We are saved by God's grace. So we must be completely dependent upon God, upon Jesus. For independent of Him, we have no hope and we have no salvation. And our name is not written in the book of life. Only Christ's death and resurrection can break the hold of sin that it has on each one of us. That He can give us hope and salvation beyond the grave. Only Christ's death and resurrection can defeat Satan, his works, and all his ways. So while being independent may sound good from a religious point of view, it really isn't. Because it only takes a matter of time until sin comes back. and it bares its fangs again and again, and it throws those skeletons out of the closet that you thought that you had shoved them back there 10, 15, 20, 40, 50 years ago. Or the sting of death comes back, and the loss of a mother, a father, a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a beloved friend comes back, looms over you greatly. Or then Satan, he always is whispering in our ears and telling us all sorts of despairing things. Independence, it sounds good, but in the end, it doesn't take long for us to know that in this big, wide world of ours, that there are lots of debts that we have, and all of those debts must be paid, and we don't have enough money or works or anything to pay for them. Only Christ's death can pay for the debt of sin that we owe, and only His resurrection can give us new life. The path to true freedom, when you think about it, is not to throw off the shackles we think that have been put upon us. It's not to rebel and redefine what Christianity is that's been defined for thousands of years and by the Bible, no less. No, the answer is to turn to the one who was shackled for us, who was nailed to the cross, who willingly submitted to His Father's will, willingly submitted to the slavery of our sin, not that He might be free, but that we might be free, that you might be free. And only joined to Him can our shackles be removed. Only He holds the keys to the gates of heaven. And only He, by His blood, writes our names in that book of life. Only by being dependent upon Him can we truly be set free. But here's our problem, or here's the problem that we think about it this way. We think that being independent and having freedom must go together. That we can't be free unless we're independent of everything. But this is not so. Because remember what Jesus said. Behold, I have given you authority, ... but nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that is the authority or the independence, but rejoice what? That your names are written in heaven. In other words, Jesus is telling you that dependence and freedom actually do go together. Now, maybe not politically, but we're not talking about politics, nor do we talk about politics here. But we're certainly talking about spiritually, and we're talking about your soul and your eternal destiny. For only as we live in Christ and dependent upon Him can we truly live freely. If we keep to the mindset that independence and freedom must go together, then we can and we will never understand why a loving God would put crosses and difficulties and afflictions and challenges to our faith in our course of life. For you would think that a loving God would take all of these things away from us, right? Wouldn't a loving God take better care of us by just making our life a bed of ease and it being far easier? With such questions, in asking them, we are failing to realize that our Jesus is one who is crucified. And there is no Jesus apart from the one who is crucified. There is no crossless Christianity. And so your Heavenly Father, He gives you crosses to bear, not because He doesn't love you, not because He likes to watch you suffer and He's some sadistic God who's just laughing up there. He gives you crosses for no other reason than this, that by these crosses you are driven to His cross. And as you are driven to His cross, you are driven to the fruits of His cross. Because the fruits of His cross make you aware that you are dependent upon Him and that therefore he has not, in fact, left you or burned you beyond what you can bear, but rather, as you are dependent upon him, you always have your way out. That is, in him. For Jesus says, whoever loses his life in this world will what? Save it. But whoever desires to save his life in this life will lose it. So finally, it's exactly the struggles of life that drive us to the source of life. It's exactly the challenges to our faith and the challenges of the difficulty to love and forgive that drive us to the one who loved us and who forgives us. When we are brought to our knees, when we are to realize our neediness and our dependency, we drink deeply from the places where God would have us drink and know that he is like our mother, as it says in the Old Testament, that he will comfort us like our mother comforted us on our hip. For in these means, in these dependent ways that we are connected to Christ, Christ says very clearly, I love you and I forgive you all of your sins. And so therefore we are set free in dependence on him. So live free from fear, for we know that in Christ our names are written in heaven. And in a world that's searching for answers, in a world that's searching for freedom, in a world that's searching for eternal life and all sorts of answers, if the message that Christ has died for your sins and that you are free because Christ has set you free, I don't really know what else could be said that is more revolutionary than that. In the name of Jesus, amen.